BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting this season. Everything from pro and college basketball to UFC, MMA, and more. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. With live betting options, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. BetOnline is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. Head to betonline.ag today or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code BELIEVE to receive your rewards. betonline.ag, where the game starts. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Believe in OK State podcast. I'm Megan Robinson, joined as always by Justin Southwell and Eve Batoba. Guys, exciting weekend for some former Cowboy football players getting drafted. Tyler Lacy, fourth round selection by the Jacksonville Jaguars, 130th pick overall. Jason Taylor was a seventh round selection, 234 by the LA Rams. How surprised were you guys to see Tyler Lacy go in the fourth round?
I mean, I was maybe a little bit surprised, but at the same time, not really, because ahead of that season, this last season, I was thinking this guy can make, like, you know, he can make some waves here, second, third, fourth round. Some of the injuries came around, so it was kind of like, maybe he'll drop to sixth. It's kind of what I was expecting. And then, I don't know, I think that the Jaguars kind of got a steal at the end of the day.
Yeah, I was surprised. I'm not going to lie. I didn't, you know, I told y'all in previous podcasts that I thought that Tyler Lacy was going to be the first OK State Cowboy that was drafted. I thought the fourth round was a sweet spot for him. I think on one podcast, I even said I wouldn't be surprised if he would have gone in the late second round. But it goes to show, everything is all about the scheme fit. It's all about, you know, getting where you can fit in. When I look at the Jaguars defense, I think they moved from a 4-3 defensive scheme to, you know, 3-4, almost like a hybrid type of thing, which seems to fit Tyler if he's going to be like that guy who plays a 5 technique. So, you know, it makes sense if he can set the edge, prevent the run for the Jaguars, right? Sounds like it makes sense. Just because of his combine performance and his pro day performance, that was really the thing that I just thought was going to knock him down a little bit. But it just goes to show, you can't replace game film. And he put up some film over those over his years at Oklahoma State.
Eve, did you say Tyler Lacy was going to go late? I thought you said JT was going to go late second.
Oh, sorry. I don't know what I just said. Yes, I said JT. Okay, so let me restate this
claim. We're going to have to go back and check the receipts.
Let me reclaim this. JT, I even said that he was going to go in the late second round. I thought that JT was going to be the first Oklahoma State Cowboy that is drafted.
So you were surprised that Tyler went fourth round?
I was surprised.
JT.
Yeah, you know what? There was a part of me that even thought that Tyler might not even get drafted. But you know what? His size. I mean, at the position that he plays, at his size, that's something that you can't coach. You're either born with that or you're not. And you give that to the right coach, they feel like they can make something out of that. So, hey, more power to him, man. I'm really, really happy for those guys.
Well, everything I read pre-draft, I looked at a few boards online, and I take every board with a grain of salt because you never know. It's based on best available, team needs, who fits. You know, you're not going to –
if going to trade.
The trades, but yeah, if you're the Jets, you're not trying to draft a quarterback. So if – throwing out names, if Hendon Hooker is the best player available and the Jets are on the board, you know he's not going there. So there's so many different things that are involved with the draft and the boards. But I saw Lacy and Taylor going in the seventh round in the several boards that I looked at. So I remember I was just kind of scrolling through. I wasn't really watching the last day of the draft, but I was constantly checking just to see, like, if any of our guys were taken. And I was like, wait a second, it's the fourth round and Lacy was taken already? But I mean, like, awesome for him. It's super, super exciting. I mean, and Jacksonville under Peterson, I think that Jacksonville, yo, look out. Seriously.
I mean, even if you look around at their division, like, yeah, who are they actually going against? You know, you got the Colts who have a rookie quarterback. You got the Houston Texans who have a rookie quarterback. And then you have the, who's the other team in Jacksonville?
Titans.
The Tennessee Titans who, you know.
Rookie quarterback.
Yeah, you know, potentially.
Kinda, yeah, potentially. I will say too, like, I kind of grew up for a minute as a Jaguars fan because
that's right.
I went to the Westmore high school, and their team mascot was the Jaguars. And at the time that I got into football, into the NFL, it was around that 95 season when the Jaguars had their inaugural season. And for whatever reason, this is just like embedded in my mind watching NFL Network. But when I think of the Jacksonville Jaguars, I think of John Henderson on that D-line in that pregame with the trainer, and the trainer's just slapping him as hard as he can to get him fired up to go out on the field. So that's what I think of, just crazy D linemen for Jacksonville. So Tyler Lace, you got a lot to live up to, but I'm excited to see how it goes.
Isn't Westmore the Jaguars too, your high school?
That's why I like the Jaguars, because Westmore Jaguars. Yeah.
Come on. Hey, from what I heard, that Westmore is the best more. So
you know it. Right, you know, you have been taught well, young E.
I love it.
So, as I said, Lacey was the first off the board for OK State. Jason Taylor was second. And how do you guys think that he fits in the LA Rams defensive scheme?
You know what? The way that they utilized Jalen Ramsey last season gets me excited about what could possibly happen with JT2. So he was a defenseless player. Like, he was a positionless defender is what I should say. It's not like he was a safety. He wasn't a corner. He wasn't a linebacker. They just lined him up wherever they needed him. And you saw Jason Taylor II's flexibility and all the different areas that he could line up in whenever he was at Oklahoma State, being that Swiss Army knife type of rover safety. So if they are able to, you know, use him in that type of manner, you know, that would be huge. Now, with that being said, he has to make the team. He has to, he has to have an impact on special teams. If there's an injury, he has to be ready. But man, the way that they used just that secondary in general, that really pumps me up, and I'd be excited if I were him.
Yeah, I feel like, well, obviously, it goes without saying, you have to be a dynamic defensive back in the NFL, regardless of what team you're on. But especially in the NFC West, I feel like every one of those offenses has a unique style. And typically we see like a lot of good firepower coming out of those offenses, with the 49ers, Arizona Cardinals, obviously, and the Seahawks maybe have dropped off a little bit recently, but at the same time, they're bouncing back with a lot of these receivers that you saw in the draft. DK Metcalf is obviously one of the best in the game. So, you know, to play defense for the LA Rams, you got to be on your A game all the time. So I hope that he gets the opportunity and has the chance to show out.
You got to be smart, whether they're putting him at safety, at corner, or at nickel. I mean, it's one of those things where you just – I think it's going to pay him well, that just the fact that he had to know so much whenever he was in Oklahoma State's defense. Hopefully that's able to kind of shorten that learning curve for him. But it can be difficult to switch from – mostly a safety to a cornerback, depending on the type of scheme you're in. Are you going to be asked to play close to the line of scrimmage or further away from the line of scrimmage? That three cone shuttle time, right? Your quickness has to be way up there if you're going to be transitioning from all those different spots in the secondary. So
you got to be able, like, to your point though, you can't really rely on that too much in the NFL, because offenses will recognize that and exploit that weakness. If they notice that he's coming in for more of the run plays or quarterback contain kind of plays, then they will scheme around that. So I don't know. It's just, it'll be just cool to see how it all plays out.
But yeah. No, it definitely will. But you know what? I just root for everybody that's OK State.
Yeah.
You know, like
everybody that's OK State.
Yeah.
Really, anybody that makes it to the pros, honestly, like, I mean, there are a handful of guys that I don't necessarily active root against, you know, but I'm not necessarily a fan of them, but almost everybody else in the NFL just has my respect. Wow. And then obviously if they're Oklahoma State, it's that much more.
It's been a little difficult for me to root for anybody that gets drafted or gets signed by the Washington Commanders now. But now that their team is getting sold, I can root for Christian Holmes again, right? Like Christian Holmes got drafted in the 7th round. What was it, last year? So yeah. I will start rooting for him again as soon as the Washington Commanders sale actually goes through. And then, boom, you know, I can root for everybody else at OK State.
I root for Major Tutty, the Commanders mascot.
Oh my goodness. Gosh. When did that come out? Was that like at the end of this last year? Like they haven't actually had him
like a full
live in the season yet.
we haven't got to experience a full season.
So there's a chance they might cancel it before the season starts. Fingers crossed for that.
Best mascot in sports. Well, no, the Philly Fanatic is, but we're not here to debate mascots. Yeah, the last
thing I think Pistol Pete is the best mascot in sports, so I'm just going to stick with that.
I'm biased.
Pistol Pete can't take his belly and like
That's a positive thing.
No.
Yeah, Pistol Pete could shoot somebody that does that, though.
Can, but the Fanatic and, like, the Jaguars mascot, you know, they just do that boom. Yeah, but.
Oh, my Lord. Yo, did y'all know OSU has had a player selected in 19 of the last 21 drafts and multiple players selected in 7 of the last 8? And that is more than what Texas can say. I believe that it was just a couple of years ago that UT didn't even have anybody get drafted for, like, the first time in school history or something crazy like that. Yeah. But yeah, that's pretty impressive for what we've been able to do as a program.
And in the last 2 years, Eve, they've had 5 total defensive players drafted, which is tied most in the Big 12 and eighth in all of FBS.
I gotta say, it would be the most if we didn't have a couple of those guys transfer out, because Tanner McAllister, Jared Converse, we can't claim them, unfortunately, because of the transfer portal, but that's how good our defense has been in the Big 12. And if we can continue that trend of what Knowles had established and then sprinkling some more of what Nardo is bringing to the table, just keep that momentum going, because you know, guys like Malcolm Rodriguez, some of those players that are, you know, just that next level that you see, I definitely think that we're on the up and up as far as that goes, because 2 of the players that stand out to me immediately in my head, Kendall Daniels, potential first round draft pick in the future, Colin Oliver, potential first, second round draft pick. And things are looking really good for the Oklahoma State defense. And I hope that we can continue that momentum. Nardo can play to their strengths and make sure that they continue to develop and get to that spot in the draft.
Nardo Wick, the Nard Dog. Got to get a couple of those offensive players to go out there as well. But, you know, that's a story for another day.
Talking about guys who got drafted, there were a handful of guys who were signed as undrafted free agents. So I just want to shout them out too. We were talking about the Seahawks offense earlier, but linebacker Lamont Bishop will be, you know, hoping to make the team for the Seahawks defense. Kicker Tanner Brown will join Jason Taylor in LA. He also signed with the Rams. Matt Hembro, our long snapper, going to Arizona Cardinals.
Hands down, making the team, without a doubt.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's objectively one of the best long snappers in college.
Maybe the best athlete on our team last year.
I mean, he had the second most reps at pro day on the bench, and he had like a 38 and a half inch vertical or something crazy like that for a long snapper. Like that.
It ain't him, bro. It's him, bro.
And what I respect about Hembro too is that when his goal was always to play in college and, you know, obviously the NFL, but he really wanted to be in college. And he kind of tried a bunch of different positions. He was undersized his early years of high school, then had a growth spurt, played a little receiver, played a little tight end. They needed a long snapper. So he's like, I'll try it. And he was good at it. And he realized his junior or senior year of high school, if he wanted to play at the collegiate D1 level, he needed to be a long snapper, and that was his path. And I just really respect him for being like, you know what? Like, the wide receiver is the sexy position, but I'm going to be the long snapper, the guy that gets no recognition unless I mess up. And homeboy is killing it.
Got him to the league.
Yeah.
Like, got him to the league.
Banking.
I think he had like 500 perfect snaps or something here. Like, unreal. Got him to the league. I hope all these guys make the roster. Braden Johnson, wide receiver, going to the Buffalo Bills. Hope he makes it. But I also like, he's fast, and the Patriots cornerbacks are undersized. So selfishly, like, I don't necessarily need to see him on Sundays. So, you know.
Good. I hope he terrorizes your Patriots.
Well, we just got Christian Gonzalez. So, you know,
that's true. You got sacked up on defense to kind of like maybe negate some of that.
Shut him down. Ed Brock Martin to the Las Vegas Raiders and Sione Asi to the Denver Broncos. One guy.
I was going to say, for the edge piece of Brock Martin going to the Raiders, the only reason I wanted to mention anything was because that makes Brock Martin, Malcolm Rodriguez, 2 recent linebackers that made it to the NFL. And I got to call it out. I just have to, because Mason Cobb transferred to USC and claimed in a Sports Illustrated article is because he didn't think that he was getting the development to be able to make it to the league at Oklahoma State. And I'm just like, what are you talking about? Because we've got two prime examples right here. So I don't know. I just had to call it out.
Yeah. That's a good call out. I like that call out. Absolutely. You know, it's that's not the real reason. It's one of those things that you're telling.
That's a very politically correct answer.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things where when you know there's a deeper reason, that's when whenever you go off record, you say, OK, so what was the real reason, bro? Come on. You can tell me.
Yeah.
So no, that the Raiders defense, I mean, I think a lot of these teams that last year were a little bit, you know, I mean, the Jags won the South, but they also were like 9-7 or something. That was, it's not like they were 13-4. Mm-hmm. But I think that some of these teams, you know, the Chiefs are not going to be the definite. I think there's going to be other teams in the AFC that are going to give them a run for their money. And I think that the Raiders started to kind of figure it out. You have the second year under Josh McDaniels. You don't have Derek Carr there to like get, you know, there's not going to be that quarterback drama controversy late in the season like there was this year. So I just think that, and I think that if you look at that defense, you have Max Crosby, Chandler Jones, like Brock Martin can learn from these guys and have really, I mean, like VT was saying last week, how he learned from Sue and Cam Wake, like there's opportunity to learn from very seasoned veterans on that Raiders defense. So I'm excited for him.
Yeah. I don't know what everybody's cognitive aptitude or their ability to learn is, but that's the biggest thing that they can do is the coaches are going to keep the guys that they can trust. The best way to show that you are trustworthy is to know the freaking playbook. So any of your free time, make sure that you are staying in a place that is close to the facility so that you're not stuck in traffic. And the 30 minutes extra that you were in traffic, you could have been using that to study the playbook or doing some cones and, you know, setting up however it is that you learn best. Make sure that you just know the playbook so that whenever they call you out there to practice, you know exactly what you're doing, where you're supposed to be and how to execute.
Or Eve, you could study while in traffic. If you're just crawling, just have that next to you.
You know, we don't condone hazardous behaviors on the Believe in OK State podcast. So.
I'm just saying, if you are in standstill traffic and not going anywhere, we've all been parked on a highway for an hour, not moving. We all know what that
means. Never.
Like. You live in Dallas, of course you have.
I was going to say,
two hands like, on you're the in wheel Dallas, at all times.
I was going to say never for me because being in Oklahoma, it is a lot more rare that that happens than in any big city like Dallas or Los Angeles, things like that. So,
yeah,
positives.
Well, good luck to all of those guys who have made a preseason roster. The hard work starts now. Any guy will tell you that the work is just beginning. Getting that call or that you're getting signed is start of the hard work, not the end of it. So
you know what I was thinking about? It's interesting. Whenever somebody does transfer and they get drafted, do they get to claim both universities or access both alumni bases? Or is it just like, yo, whoever you graduated the latest?
It's like, that's my understanding of it. It's whoever you graduate with, which is, it totally stinks for the guys that are there
for
5 years and then you're there for 1 year.
Let me reframe my question because there's a difference between what I'm asking and like what it says on the NFL roster or what it says whenever you announce it on TV. I'm talking about like from a personal standpoint. If I know that I was at Oklahoma State and I transferred to, I don't know, let's say Colorado. Well, do the fans at Colorado and the fans at Oklahoma State both claim me? And do I get to access both of those alumni bases to say like, hey, I'm one of y'all. You know what I mean? Almost like a Tyreek Hill situation. Well, I mean, hold on. That's a bad example.
But I know what you mean though, because it is kind of like there's the difference between the Mason Cobb and the Tanner McAllister, because it depends on how you leave. If you're in good standing with the university, how the fans perceive that. I mean, that's got to be the answer because it's different on a case by case basis.
So here's the other thing too, but you know, there are definitely a handful of transfers who are grad transfers, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So if I were to go to grad school at Oklahoma State, I got my undergraduate degree at Emerson College and I have access to their alumni resources. But if I transferred to Oklahoma State as a, or not transferred, but if I, or yeah, if I transferred here as a grad student getting my graduate degree, then I'm a master, you know, I have my master's from Oklahoma State. So that's different, but I would still have access to their alumni stuff. You know what I'm saying? So does that factor into it too?
Yeah, no, it does. And, you know, part of that too is who you identify with the most.
Yeah.
You know, most of the time your undergrad.
You're still in good standing with your previous university. Yeah.
It's like Jalen Hurts with the Super Bowl. Everyone was like, no, he's OU. And Alabama's like, absolutely not. He graduated here in 4 years. So
you know what? I like Jalen Hurts. So he's an Alabama guy.
That's just how that is.
Yeah.
Simple.
Yeah. Yeah.
We make the rules.
I guess. Yeah. And I also guess it probably depends on your how you feel about it. Like it wouldn't shock me if Spencer Sanders didn't claim Oklahoma State.
That would shock me.
If he didn't?
I would be shocked.
I'd be shocked if he claimed Oklahoma State. Yeah.
Really?
It wouldn't surprise me either way. Because it's like you've given so much to this university, but there was a lot of drama when you left. So I could see him being kind of like, well, whatever, screw you. I'm moving on to Ole Miss. Go Rebs, you know?
You know what? It might depend on how he performs this season.
That's fair.
Yeah, how the fans treat him.
Yeah.
That's fair.
That's a good point. Case by case.
Time will tell. Speaking of college football season, guys, exciting stuff. New information has been released regarding the college football playoff expansion. Not this season, but next season. And as everyone loves to do their way too early predictions, we're going to get into it because it's just, it's interesting. New information coming out. The semifinal matchup will be on weeknights because they're trying to not conflict with the NFL. I think it's smart too. Here's what we can expect in the expanded playoffs. 12 teams will be, there'll be 12 teams as we've already established. The six conference champions ranked highest by committee and the six highest ranked teams, not including the highest ranked conference champions. So there will still be a human committee selecting these teams. It will not be like the BCS with the computer. But Justin, we both have the same thought. What are the six conferences? Because you have, if you're talking Power Five schools, you have SEC, Pac-12, ACC, Big 12, Big 10. What's six? What I've read is that six will be a group of five school. So you have like the MAC, Mountain West, WAC, you have all those conferences. And then the committee will rank whatever highest of the group of five schools will then be team number six. Well, not, I mean, they don't necessarily be the sixth ranked. They could be three, four, but they will be in that top six. Mm-hmm. But Dustin, you also had another theory, conspiracy theory.
Yeah, because it is conspiracy theory season, as you all know. Which is that with all of this conference realignment going on, maybe they just said the quiet part out loud, which is that we're going to have six Power Five conferences. We're going to form this completely new conference out of, I don't know, maybe the excess of the Big Ten and the excess of the SEC, since everybody's like forming in these conferences and there's too many teams to be able to play one another. So let's, you know, maybe based on geography or something, I don't know, but we'll see how all that shakes out. There's nothing that I'm basing that off of, by the way. It's just, I was just curious.
Like,
you said six conference champions, and I'm like, okay, well, we know the Power Five. And I know that there's an argument of like, is there really a Power Five? We'll talk about that another time, maybe. But yeah, I mean, I guess it would make sense to have like the top dog of the group of five and just stick them in as one of the six teams, but I don't know how I feel about that.
I like it a lot. You know, you get to the top five from the top five power conferences, and then every single year we know there's always like that one team who people are like, they went close to being undefeated. You know, all those years whenever TCU was doing what they were doing, going to the Fiesta Bowl, you had those years where UCF actually claimed the national
Cincinnati,
championship.
Cincinnati,
you
know, Boise like, State, those are the ones.
Yeah,
that
so you
stand
know, Tulane,
out.
Tulane goes and they blow out USC, and they feel like they did something. But you know, these things happen, so you're just like, all right, well. Here we are. throw them in the playoffs and let's see what happens. Because, I mean, what are the chances that any that the fifth ranked or the sixth ranked team are actually going to make it to the – yeah, you know how college football is. I mean, look, we all know how college football is. There's typically one or two people that just stand way above everybody else. But I love the fact that there is a playoff and you get everybody a chance to actually get to the big game.
I mean, to your point, though, Eve, I don't remember the rankings off the top of my head, but if you're looking at some of those teams, like this year, if the college, if we would expanded to this year, Alabama was like a 7 or an 8. So you could very well have a 7 seed advancing and beating a TCU at a 3, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you're right. And I think that's why you like the parity, you know?
Yeah, no, yeah. I love that. I love it. I think that, you know, the issue for this with for about this with me is that there is always a human element, and I don't know what the solution would be, but I think that on paper this looks really good, and it's like, oh yeah, put the Power Five champions in plus this. But if you look at that, the Power Five champions aren't always the best teams, you know. And because if you look at Utah won this year. Did they deserve to be?
Well, weren't they the best team in the Pac-12 though?
They were, but look at, but I'm saying if, I guess my question is, what is the committee going to base their rankings and everything on? Because yeah. if you had, who was it? Purdue and Michigan in the Big 12 champion or the Big 10 championship.
Right.
What if I'm throwing out hypotheticals. What if on that day Purdue won? What if Michigan quarterback got hurt and Purdue won that game? So then Purdue was in, and I don't think that just because you're a top six, I don't think that just because you're a conference champion, you're automatically guaranteed a spot 1 through 6. It's just your 6 spots, and then the committee will rank those teams.
Yeah. Everything is so subjective. It really is so subjective. And
closer,
you know what?
Closer than that would be probably Kansas State, prime example, beating TCU.
Well, here's the thing. I think that's exactly why the human element is a factor. If it was just going strictly off of, you know, win-loss record or stats or, you know, whatever it may be, then you wouldn't factor in that, okay, well, the quarterback got hurt in the third quarter of this game or whatever. But because there is a human element, you're able to go in and say, okay, like, we have to factor this thing in. And
I am curious to know how it'll shake out, especially in the Big Ten, for example, because you got – it's like stacked in one side and then the other side is so weak. So you would have
facts.
Michigan, but Ohio State, and Penn State might all be three of the best teams in the Big Ten that deserve to be in the top 12.
So you can't have multiple teams from one conference?
You can. But the thing is, like, Michigan, for example, is only going to play in the Big Ten championship. Ohio State basically gets a bye week and they would still make the top 12 in that scenario.
Well, that was the whole drama this year, is that people were saying if a team cannot, Ohio State, for example, they could not play in to the CFP this past season because they did not make the Big Ten championship. So if a team cannot play in, then a team should also not be able to play out, which was USC, because USC was right there. So why does playing an extra game in the conference championship then hurt you getting into the college football playoff? And I know that with the expanded thing, then USC would, like, Utah and USC would still make it. TCU, K-State would still make it. Ohio State, Michigan, even though they won't face off in the Big Ten championship, they would still make it.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you have Georgia, Alabama, and I do think, yes, it expands it, because no matter what, there's always going to be teams that say that should have been us. And the top 4 seeded conference champions, they get byes. So they're then seeded 1 through 4 and then they get byes. And then the other top, I guess it'd be 5 through 8, they would host at their school or at a site local. I'm making this up. If it's Georgia, they could be like, you know what, we might want to host it in Atlanta. Like, that is, you know, they would discuss where they would host it. I don't see Georgia doing that. I'm just making that an easy example.
I love the fact that home team. Yeah. If Oklahoma State makes it to the playoff, we get to host a playoff game. Not only is it good for the university, is it good for the local economy, but you're bringing people in from across the country who'd want to fly in and check that out. I mean, how cool would that be? Stillwater, Oklahoma is hosting a college football playoff game. And that's very, very plausible, especially, I think, in the next year.
And you get more exposure on that grand stage. Like you always get it whenever you're in a New Year's Six Bowl, but you don't get to see like the home atmosphere of those teams that would be able to claim like home field advantage. And it's like, dude, this is like a chance, another chance for you to be able to be in front of America to show off how great Stillwater is. So I'm very excited about the potential for that. But man, it's going to be tough. Like there's a lot of work to be done. It's not going to be
absolutely just
easy, you know, getting and in.
You know what'll make it even tougher is if the freaking national media starts calling us Okie State again. My goodness. Like, yo,
can't have it. I'm going to call it Okie
State. It's Oklahoma State. It's OSU. That's it. No Okie State around here. Please, national media, please.
Make it stop. But no, I just pulled up the tweet that you sent us earlier, Justin, with the 2024-2025 college football postseason schedule. So the first round will be one game on Friday, December 20th, three games Saturday, December 21st. Those would all be on the home team, the campuses of the higher ranked teams. Quarterfinals, Tuesday, December 31st, and that would be the VRBO Fiesta Bowl. And then New Year's Day is the Peach Bowl, the Rose Bowl, and the Sugar Bowl. Those are all the quarterfinals. Semifinals, Thursday, January 9th, and Friday, January 10th, 2025, Orange Bowl and Cotton Bowl. And then the Natty would be Monday, January 20th in Atlanta. So really you're pushing the season back a week. But if you are, there's a chance that you would get four games if you're one of those, if you're not one of the teams that gets a bye.
This is low key an L on the college football playoff committee. Like you have a chance to restructure this and you're still going to have the national championship on a Monday night.
When would you put it?
Saturday.
But Saturday, that's the whole
move. I don't care. Like move the NFL games around. Like NFL should be Sunday anyway.
But it's NFL playoffs, so they always do Saturday, Sunday.
Move college football back then. Like, don't compete with the NFL playoffs. You need to, like, just move. We don't need this huge break between the end of the regular season and the first round.
Bro, they're college kids that need to be at home with their families for Christmas.
They don't get to go home for their families anyway.
There's one day. No, they allow one day. There's one day where they get to go home, kick it, and then go right back.
You got a chance to restructure this. You got to do it the right way. There doesn't need to be that gap in between playoffs. And think about this, Eve. We're only talking about 12
Let
teams.
Everybody
it's 12
get
teams.
Healthy.
It's 12 teams. Don't worry about getting healthy. Like, stay healthy. Be ready.
Okay.
You don't get a month off when you go to the NFL, Justin. You know, you get maybe a bye week. And only two teams get bye
weeks. That's right. You gotta make it consistent with the NFL.
It's not
the NFL, y'all. This is
crazy. It doesn't. I'm just saying, like, Monday night for a national championship game.
That kicks off at 8:30.
It's actually a joke.
Yeah, but like, guess what? Everybody still watches it.
Yeah, because we're forced to, and then we have to go to work the next day, and we're like, what is life?
That Monday might also be Martin Luther King Day, or would it be the week before that? Because normally it's around that time in January.
I mean, it might be, and you might have that day off. I don't get that day off for work, but nobody gets that Tuesday off.
Shame on your company for not taking a day off.
What I'm saying is that what we should do is request that we... Yes, Monday, January 20th, 2025, the day of the college football national championship, is also MLK Day. So go do your service.
I just want to hear it. I want to hear it from the rest of the comment section. Like, leave me a comment if you think I'm wrong, if you think Monday is the prime time for college football championship. I would have to disagree. I got stick with Saturdays.
I agree with you, Justin. I like Saturday. It's college football vibes. You wake up Sunday, have your NFL day. However, the NFL is much more powerful than the NCAA and the college football playoff committee. And there is no way that they would be like, oh, sure, we'll rearrange our schedule so that you can have your expanded playoff. And people, okay, if you are having a Bills Chiefs AFC wildcard game or the national championship between Georgia and TCU, which do you think is getting views?
Yeah, that Bills Chiefs game is gonna dominate the rankings. I'm sorry.
I mean, and I think that people watch it on a Monday. It's the same with college basketball. People watch the national championship. Even this year, people were not so keen on TCU and Georgia, but they still tuned in because nothing else is on and it's the national championship. Whereas if you have it with NFL games, I don't think it'd be as high of views because it's like, well, I'm watching this powerhouse matchup in the NFL. I'm not saying you're wrong. I agree because I got early.
It's just business decisions.
I'm just saying, yeah, it's just a perfect reason to move it back. 3 more weeks. Just
goodness gracious, bro. That's the start of the semester. What are we talking about?
Dude, that's whenever normal January 1st games are anyway.
Well, that's still...
This isn't affecting them, man. Like, you got to think, like, these kids do not care, all right? Like, they're already up at night until 3 in the morning going out and having fun. So they don't care about...
What kind of student were you, bro?
Stop, bro. I'm just talking about who we see. All right. But if you move it back, realistically, if it's January 20th, that Monday, you can move it back to Saturday, January 4th, if you get rid of all of the unnecessary bye weeks in between.
Well, I guess it's
not competing
been,
with college or not competing with the NFL.
It hasn't been approved yet, right? I think it's still subject to agreement. So, Justin, go ahead and throw that out there.
I mean, I think that those are pretty approved. Those
oh,
two.
Well, shoot. Sorry, Justin. No woulda, coulda, shoulda. This is what we got.
I mean, that was like tweeted by – that wasn't like hypothetical. That was tweeted the college football playoff Twitter.
That's
an L. It's pretty an L. Yeah, also, you know what else is an L? Going to 12 teams. That's too many. Like, what happened to 8? Why can't
honestly,
you just stick with 8?
I hope that there's a trickle effect. Like, I hope that going to 12 teams allows there for just to be more competitive balance across recruiting, for more competitive balance when it comes to parity across the just the college football landscape. I think that whenever you look at, ever since the college football playoffs became a thing, there's a huge discrepancy between the teams that have been to the playoffs and their recruiting rankings every single year. So if you can use, hey, we made it to the playoffs as part of your recruiting pitch, hopefully there's a bigger, just a more widespread, recruiting advantage. Hey, maybe the guy that was going to be the third string quarterback at Alabama decides that he's going to go and be the starter at Utah. You know, maybe the guy that was going to be the second string QB at OU decides that he's going to go, golly, be the starter at Tulane or SMU, whatever. Like, I would love to see more, just more teams that can say, hey, I'm able to get to this spot too.
What are the chances though that there are going to be people where you have a Tulane and 12 seed and, they're playing, USC and they get rocked and it's like, 64 to 14 or 63 to 14 USC wins. And then it's like, well, Tulane, how is there anything that we can do to avoid the criticism, regardless of how many teams we have, and oh, this team should have been in, this team should have been in. That's
inevitable. Yeah. I mean, that's going to be inevitable.
That's part of being a fan. That's what makes it so beautiful, really. Except if your team is number 13 on the outside looking in, then it sucks.
And that's
why I don't ever blame the system. You don't blame the system. All you can do is go back and you can say, man, if we would have, whenever it was third and short and we sent that safety out on the blitz, if only he would have made that tackle, everything would have been different. Like, those are the heartbreaks that you got to live and die with as a sports fan. And I think that's what makes sports so beautiful. Like, there's ups and downs, there are peaks and valleys, and you just got to roll with it.
I just cannot wait for the time when the conference championship from whatever conference, I don't care what conference it is, but one of the Power Five schools is like 8-4. And they beat the 12-0 team to win their conference. And then they get the seat, that 12-0 team will get in too, or 12-1, but because that's definitely a possibility as well.
Yo, if that 8-4 team wins a conference, then kick that freaking conference out of the Power Five straight up. Like, you have no business being there.
But on any given day, any team can win. And I truly believe that because it happens. Teams come in and you're like, wait, how did we just lose to insert team here? Or how did that team just beat this other team?
Moment was too big. I'm just kidding. It happens. It happens. I mean, that's why we play the games.
Exactly.
6-1 odds.
I'm just saying.
6-1.
It's going to be interesting. And Justin, going back to the Big Ten and about Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, all on the same side. That's also, when do USC and UCLA join the Big Ten?
Yeah, next year, I guess.
That could also, there could be a big reorg within the Big
Ten. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Might as well just shift it around, create that six conference. And then.
Well, yeah. Well, in that situation, then college football would have to disassociate itself from the NCAA. Like, it would have to get a whole, its own governing structure. It would need a commissioner. Mm. And yeah, it would just have to be completely different.
No, that
sounds like a way. Yeah.
I wasn't saying make a new conference. I'm just saying that it could be, instead of like the way that they're already divided.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be on the other side.
I don't know.
Competing with the likes of Iowa, Wisconsin, Northwestern. Man.
Don't sleep on Wisconsin with Fickle. So tough.
Don't sleep on Iowa either.
Listen,
a lot of players drafted this year.
If Iowa were a mattress brand, I would buy that mattress because I would get the best night of sleep. Because I'm gonna sleep on them, bro. Like, I'm just gonna sleep on them.
Dad jokes galore.
All right. Well, I don't know. Makes me excited for football.
Yeah, I just need a playoff game in Stillwater, Oklahoma. I would go crazy.
We got a couple of years to make that happen. So yeah. We can do it, guys. We can do it. I believe in us. I do. Well, before we go, quick news and notes for some other around the Oklahoma State Athletic Department. Isaac Baycroft was named Big 12 Newcomer of the Year in men's tennis, and Tyler Zink earned a spot on the singles all Big 12 second team. So congrats to both of them. Both the men's and women's tennis teams are out at regionals this week. So best of luck. I think they start tomorrow or Friday. But yeah, they're kicking off this week. So good luck to our tennis teams. And go support your Cowgirls this weekend. It is Bedlam softball. If you have not been to a Bedlam softball game in Stillwater, Oklahoma, it is. What's that face for, Justin? Have you been?
No, I'm just thinking like how lit it's going to be.
It's insane.
You know, like max capacity and then a little bit more.
Yes.
It is crazy.
People pack those decks out in the outfield. Like they are packed to the, I don't know if there's like a capacity, but they definitely exceed it. So go support your women's softball team.
Y'all got me fired up, man. I'm ready to drive up to Stillwater and watch the ladies ball out.
Come on up, Eve. I'll be here.
Yeah, I'll actually hit you up, too, on like Justin.
That's what friends are for.
And with that, we want to thank you all for listening to another episode of the Believe in OK State podcast. Like, share, subscribe, follow, comment, especially let Justin know if you want a national championship on a Saturday so that we can send a petition to the CFP.
Yeah.
MEG for CFP still.
Yeah.
2024, I think we can make this campaign happen.
It is an election year.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. And until then, go Pokes.
Go Pokes.
Go Pokes.